Hey everyone, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to shut down your startup.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
So this is not going to be about deciding if or if you should quit or continue and all that. This is you've already decided for whatever hopefully good reason that your startup needs to be shut down. And now what the hell do you do, right? How do you approach this? And the reason why we talk about this is because one of the listeners was saying that, you know, we have episodes on how to brainstorm an idea, how to get from zero to 10 customers, 10 to 100, 100 to 1,000 and beyond. We've talked about how to pivot and all these things.
How to decide. We've already said that too.
Yeah. So we've talked about pretty much the entire life cycle of a startup, but what we haven't talked about in depth is what happens after you decided it's dead, right? Or how do you...
Or it's done, right?
And how do you close up the chapter in the best way? What are mistakes to avoid? What is an approach to go about it? So have you ever had to shut down? You had a bunch of businesses that you had to shut down.
We've shut down stuff ourselves. I probably once or twice a month deal with somebody who needs to do that.
There you go. So, and for me, not as frequent in terms of how many people I deal with, a bunch of people every month, but not as many, but, you know, I had to shut down a few businesses before. So what are, let's talk about ways not to do it and ways to do it, right?
Cool.
So you've decided it is a decision. It's not about like thinking it through anymore. Now you need to execute on the decision of shutting down the startup. What are the things that you need to think about? Well, what's the checklist?
I think that if you've raised some amount of money, mm-hmm. let's say, that's one scenario.
Yeah.
You typically are going to think it's probably true that you have some onus on your investors or some responsibility to try to return some of their money. So you're probably going to look for like an acqui-hire or something like that. So I do want to talk about that scenario briefly.
Yeah.
So in that scenario, what happens is you probably already went through a bunch of emotion. And whether you know it or not, you've already decided you want to shut it down. Because in a lot of these cases, you have this overhang again of I took people's money and I have a responsibility to return as much of that money as possible. Maybe I have some amount of money in the bank. So one scenario is if you have money in the bank and you took money from people and it's over and you have no motivation to do this or it's for whatever reason it's done, your clock is ticking because every single day that you waste is money you're spending that you shouldn't be spending because you're not going towards a business that's going to grow. Instead, you're going towards a shutdown. So what I see often happen is like companies that have like 10, 5, 20 team members, they go for months when they already knew it's over. And for months trying to return money that they can't return.
Yeah.
When they have money in the bank that they can return. And it's not about returning money to investors. Investors typically don't give a shit, but it's about you doing the right thing for everybody.
Yeah.
This means your team members, your customers, and your investors. And in that scenario, the best piece of advice I have that nobody ever really takes without a lot of work and effort on themselves is stop. Shut it down as fast as possible. If you have options for getting some acqui-hire or something, play those out really quickly. Here's the funny thing. If you tell those options that you're going to shut it down by the end of July, July 31st, hell or high water, and you're going to literally shut down the company and go through that process, everyone starts moving faster.
I love that. I love that.
You have to believe it.
You have to believe it, yeah. I love that because I was just, now that we're talking about this, I realized that just last week I was talking to a good friend of mine who's listening to the podcast, you know who you are, who's going through this exact process. And it was like, all right, we decided we have to like shut this down. So we have to talk to investors. We have to figure out if we can get acqui-hired or sell the company to the 3-4 obvious options. And the one thing that I hate about that approach sometimes is that people will, you know, knock tentatively on a few doors and go, hey, we want to sell this thing. And then obviously as a potential buyer, there might be some curiosity and interest there, but you have no urgency, right? So you can drag along these conversations forever, learn everything you want to know. You have like an option to buy something without any price if you wait. So the incentives are for you to like wait around and learn more because the price is actually declining every day that you're quote unquote fucking around.
Yes.
So I love the approach when there's a real deadline.
Yeah.
Hey, We're going to shut this thing down. We're going to be done with it. If you want to buy it and get the team today, you have, you know, 6 weeks or 4 weeks to get this done. Yeah. Is this a timer that works? Are you guys interested?
I wouldn't even ask them if it works or not. Just like, we're shutting it down by then.
Yep.
There's no option for the buyer or the acquihire about.
Oh, yeah. When I say, does this timeline work? Yeah. I don't mean, do you want a longer timeline? I mean, can you make a decision within those? Are you ready to move within those 4 weeks? Because if not, we don't need to talk.
I like it. Okay.
All right.
We're on the same page.
So I love that. So, okay. So that's one thing. Yeah. Hey, if you took money from people, you have to figure out, can I return some of that money back? And what are my options to return some of that money back? Do we still have a bit of money in the bank? And can we pay that back to them? Can we sell some of the assets of the business?
Correct.
And the assets could just be the team, right? Can somebody acquire the team with some premium that we can...
Or maybe it's the product. Maybe you actually build something someone else can do something with. But have a timeline, set it, and don't waver.
Yeah, yeah. Because the natural tendency will be that you will postpone that and postpone that because there's all these... quote unquote, real opportunities to sell or really interested parties in things. And all it's going to do is it's going to take that bit of money that you have in assets and it's going to drain it to nothing.
And it's very similar to like raising money, where when an investor tells you, oh yeah, we're excited, or like, yeah, we want to do this, that doesn't mean they want to do it. And the acquirers are the same way. The M&A and the corp dev, they know this game, right? And then once they hear that you're shutting it down, they know it's done. And so they need to move and do their, you know, internal politicking or conversations to see if anyone is really interested in this company. Because usually you came in through a champion, right? Somebody who actually really wants the team.
Yeah.
You know?
So, all right. So that's how you, you know, that's one thing to consider on the checklist. Do we have people we have to return an investment to?
Yeah.
And one way is to figure out how can we sell these assets and let's set a deadline. I think setting a deadline comes even before most of the other things, right? You set the deadline to when the business is done.
Yeah.
And within that time, what are the things we need to get accomplished? And one thing can be figuring out if we can sell the assets or get acquired. Equity hired. The other thing is obviously talking to all the shareholders, right? So you want to have the conversation. You want to be as transparent as possible during that process of what is happening, right? So you want to talk to the investors and tell them what you're planning to do, why, and what's happening.
Yep.
And if, and this is something a lot of founders struggle with, and the same thing goes to employees, like your teammates. You need to have a meeting, tell people what's going on, what's about to happen, be transparent with them.
Yeah, we need to talk about that more.
But the thing I want to point out is that if the decision is made that you're shutting down the business or that you're done with the business, you a lot of times people try to soften that message up by pretending it's not, by pretending it's just a thought or
we're exploring this option. This is not an option.
This is don't do that. Right, I get why everybody and I too want to do that. It just softens the blow. It seems to.
Well, you have other options. Like we could sell the company. Maybe we can still raise money.
Yeah.
Maybe we can, you know, actually have a strategic, you know, investment. Like there's all kinds of things people think in their head about.
But the problem is if you leave all these options open, although you don't believe in them anymore, or if you say maybe we're exploring to shut down to sell the business, but maybe we'll raise money and we'll continue. And maybe if you open up all these potential options that you don't believe in anymore, all it's going to do, it's going to make everybody individually, your team, your investors, pick the option they like, although it's not really an option anymore.
Correct.
And they're going to buy into that thing. They're going to commit to that thing. They're going to try to want that thing to happen. And now you have 20 different people wanting 20 different things, although you all along knew none of these things will happen. All you're going to do is you're going to create friction, problems, arguments, politics. Yeah. It's going to be a mess. Just tell people what's going on and tell them straight.
Yep. But first you have to decide yourself.
Yes.
That, you know, we're going to shut it down.
Yes.
So the decision is, you know, you might know you're going to shut it down and you don't have a timeline. Go get a timeline.
Timeline.
Otherwise, like, you're not shutting it down. Like I've had this conversation like, well, we're going to shut it down. I'm like, when? Well, we don't know. We're having these conversations, blah, blah, blah. And then there's rattling on about all the conversations, all this attention they're getting and all that. But wait, hold on. When are you shutting it down? Like you need to decide when to shut it down or you're not doing the right thing for anybody, especially if you're looking at exploring these other options. And in a way, it's counterintuitive. Well, if we're going to shut it down on that day, well, what are they going to say?
Mm.
Well, what do you mean? You're going to shut it down, right? So like a lot of times people get caught up in the, if I give them a date, then I'm done. And they don't want to actually admit that they're actually done, even though they know they need to shut it down. So this isn't about deciding. They've already decided, but they're not willing to admit it by sticking a date on.
Yeah.
Right. And this has like been a constant thing that any size company, funded, not funded, ends up struggling with.
Yeah. So I think that that's the most important thing. Like, you've decided already, but you're not following through on that decision. And this is the type of decision that needs like brutal follow through. Like, you just need to be ruthless and be like, this is the date, it's done.
Yeah.
Well, but what if we could know? Right? We have 6 weeks. Here's the three things we're going to try to accomplish in these 6 weeks, and then it's done. But what if, no what if? Like, it needs somebody to be like brutal and ruthless in the execution of it. And if you're wishy-washy and if you leave doors open, if you're like, well, I think in the next 6 weeks, but maybe all it's going to do is going to delay the thing. It's going to create a lot of false hopes and expectations. And you're going to be in a much worse place, you know, than you were before with everybody involved, right? You're like, well, I just try to be nice and still leave some doors open and options, and now people are really pissed. And that's the crazy thing. You try to avoid pissing off people by telling them something that wasn't as harsh, which then made it much worse and made everybody pissed, right? Yeah. So be honest. Set a deadline, set a date, and it's fixed. It can't be moved, right? And then communicate it with all the parties involved. And this, you know, the investors are one group, employees are another group.
And then customers.
Customers is another group, right? So, and that's scary too.
Let's talk about all three.
So investors we talked about already
a little bit. Just do the right thing. If you have money in the bank and you took investment, put the money, you know, make sure you're not burning it for no reason. That's why you set a date for that.
Yeah. So then you have the team, right? So, well, we said as soon as you know, you need to tell them.
Yeah.
You need to give a deadline and what needs to be accomplished
within that. Once you have a deadline, that's when you have the conversation with them. Yes. If you don't have a deadline, don't talk too much about it. Just talk to the people that are relevant in the company about it, whether it's your co-founder or some executive or whatever, right? Person whose opinion you want.
Right.
But don't talk to too many people about it without a date.
Yes.
Because then if you have a date, then there's less questions or less options.
Yes.
And so then they don't come up with the what ifs and all that stuff.
Yeah. The other thing is when you talk to the team, you need to think through both what's best for the company and you need to think through what does it mean for every individual on the team.
Yeah.
And this is really hard.
Yeah.
And it's during a time where you don't feel like, you know, thinking about what it means for every individual in the company because you're struggling with the entire business.
But they'll remember whatever great things you did for them during this time because it was a hard time.
Yeah.
Right? And you need to remember that it's not about you, actually. It's more about them.
Them. And the moment you say we're shutting down this business and the timeline is, whatever, 8 weeks from now, the first question...
I'd rather say the date.
Oh, the date, whatever. Yeah, okay.
I know what you're saying, but it's July 31st.
Fair. Okay. The moment you say that, the next second, they don't hear anything anymore you say. And everybody, the only question that now everybody has is,
what's in it for me?
What happens to me? What do I need to do?
Yeah.
They're in a slight panic and they're focused on survival, right?
Okay. So what do we do about that?
So the way to handle that is that you're going to have individual conversations, you know, and you know, if your team is massive, you might have to break that down and people that lead different teams,
groups, whatever, train them or teach them how to say it.
But if it's, you know, if it's not hundreds or thousands of people, you're going to have individual conversations as the founder and bring these people in and answer that question or help them find the answer to that question. Because until they have an answer to that question, they can't operate or do anything else anymore. Like, you can't just tell them, we're shutting down on July 23rd. Until then, we need to service these three customers and we need to clean up the offices and we need to do these other 10 things. And then expect people to just go back to work and
not
get
happening.
All that. Not happening, right? Not
they're worried about what happens after that date.
And no matter how good these people are, no matter how much you think, well, I'm still paying them till then, it doesn't matter. They emotionally, psychologically, they're blocked now. They can't do any more work.
So true.
Until the question is answered, what's going to happen to me?
And the interesting thing is, this is one reason why people don't give a date. They don't give a date
because they don't want
to have that conversation. They don't want people feeling like that. They want to have them keep working. I put that in quotes, right? But it's like they're already not working if they If you're already ready to shut down the company, you probably most of the time you have no idea that they already feel it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a big part of this. They already feel it. So telling them a date just accelerates their thinking, which is good. And then, you know, when you have the individual conversations, I think there's just a strategy of like, if you know there's like two or three conversations going on with like acqui-hire type opportunities, then for each team member, just be honest. Hey, here's a likelihood you're going to get a job over there, right? And in some cases, like, we need you to be around till then, right? Because you're going to have to come with it, you know, if you want, and if it's a good deal, I'm going to advocate for getting you a really great deal here. And if I can't, here's other options that we can open up, right? Yeah. And oftentimes, it's okay when you need to shut it down. And let's say you had some money in the bank, you can easily give people the money for 2 weeks or a month or whatever so that they can appropriately take care of themselves. And most investors would be okay with that. Yeah. And if you don't have investors, you might not have the money to do that. So then, you know, your scenario is much more direct, right? Like, and you try to be as supportive as you can.
The other thing is that you need to, you need to be very honest and clear with them and tell them, hey, here's what I expect from you in during this time. And here's what your risk and reward is. Like, here's what you're going to get back for it. And here's what the risk is that you're running. You can tell them if, you know, hey, if this doesn't work out, here's what I think your options are in the market. Here's what I think companies I can recommend you to. Here's the things that we can help you with. But I think here's a very important thing at the end of all of this is you have to tell them that if, you know, this is an important time for you and for them, if during the next, you know, whatever amount of days till July 23rd there are, if during the next days they make a decision to leave earlier or do something else, they need to, it's totally fine, it's totally okay, it's totally ethical, you'll never be mad at them. All you need for them is to tell you, like tell you as early as they know, right? And then you need to be okay if they don't, because most people won't, right? And this is another thing where it's a turbulent time. You're really emotional, right? You might sit there and you pour your heart out and you're so honest and you're so transparent and you bank on a few individuals that you really need to stick around and help you. And then, you know, 1 week in, the person's like, well, tomorrow I'm not at work anymore because, oh, they're sick.
Yeah.
And then 3 days later, they're not showing up anymore. And they're telling you, you know what, I found another job.
Yeah.
And you get upset.
There's nothing to get upset about.
And you're like, well, didn't I tell you? Just tell me.
No.
Yeah. You told them and you should tell them, right?
Absolutely.
But you can't expect them to do it.
Yeah, like, unfortunately.
You can't expect.
They have their own problems now.
Yeah. And most people struggle to tell you because it's such a difficult time and they are afraid of, you know.
And they know you're stressed.
Yeah, and they're afraid of upsetting you. They're afraid of arguing with you. They're not the best version of themselves during this crisis. No. And you're going to try to be the best version that you can be. You're going to try to inspire others to follow your example. But if some don't, it's not that they're bad people and you can't be mad at that. You have to expect, like, when you tell people the date and you have these one-on-one conversations, you have to expect the next day that you're the only person showing up at work. And if you don't, every person that shows up, you need to be grateful.
Every bit of every day,
you need to be grateful for that. You can't expect people to just, like, be honest and transparent and communicate at all times what they feel and what they do. And there might be, like, there's many factors. There's family involved. There's other people involved that might influence them. So just be okay with people in those times might act in ways that, you know, of course, are disappointing in the moment, but don't get mad at people. Expect that some people will make some decisions that you wish they hadn't made, but they made them out of just a crisis and they didn't know how to deal with it. And it's fine. It's totally normal, right? So, okay. So that's what you do with employees. Customers. Ooh, let's talk about that. What the hell do you do with your customers? Other than, obviously, you need to talk to them.
Yeah. You have to communicate with your customers. And it might be the hardest one. Right? Because they pay you. You don't really know them that well.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You probably can't always go face to face or anything like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some cases, some of them might get upset.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's all about how you email them, how much you know about what the date is and what you're going to do with their data and offer your phone number. I mean, it is straightforward, but you have to be ready for that. Right?
Yeah.
And just like with your team, just be as honest as possible. And honestly, have it come from the founder or the founders or a CEO or whatever. Whoever is the most responsible for this decision.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I like that.
And don't try to over-explain.
Yeah.
We did this and we did this that, and you were great and you did. No.
You actually don't explain an excuse at all.
No.
You tell people, you know, you tell people in as straight and honest as possible, hey, you're a customer. We value you. So we wanted you to know first, we're shutting down this business. This is the date.
This is when your service will stop.
Stop. Now, here's the next three questions you probably have, right? What does this mean to our data? What does this mean for this? What, like, you have three top questions that you have. Yeah. Here's the answer to these questions.
Yep.
And you probably have a lot more. Here's how to get those answers. Mm-hmm. I am accessible via phone, email, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is my cell phone. Reach out to me if you want to email me directly here. And we'll answer and we'll do anything and everything possible to give you all the information you need to make sure that you the transition is going to be okay for you guys. And that's it. You don't even explain like the reasons for this decision where nobody cares.
No.
We don't care. No. You ran out of money. We
and
don't care.
For some reason you're insistent on explaining it, write a FAQ and link to it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you should be. It doesn't matter at that point. Yeah. But like, you know. Some people are going to be curious. You want to reduce the amount of phone calls and text messages or whatever. You can do that, but you're only doing it mostly for yourself, you know? But yeah, that I think there's a straightforward way. Keep your explanation to one or two sentences of why. And then it's all about them and like what they need to be doing. And a bonus would be if you make good with a competitor and send the customers over to competitors.
Yeah.
It could be multiple ones where you don't need to make good with them. You just point them to it. Yeah. But a lot of competitors will gladly take your customers if they've figured it out.
Yeah, and they might have the resources, money, and time to really invest in the transition and getting that data over there and doing all the servicing that you might not be able to do anymore and provide anymore. It's the right thing to do for the customer.
It is the right thing to
do. Absolutely. And we've seen this happen successfully. Now, I don't want to get too much into the – sometimes there's going to be customers you have that you might be able to service anymore let me say it differently. There's going to be customers where you've maybe got a prepayment. Right? For a year of service.
I like it. Yeah, what do you do?
What the hell do you do? And your service stops in a month. And you don't have, let's say, you're not in the convenient situation to be able to just pay them that money back.
Right.
Right? So that's obviously a legal question. We're not lawyers. You need to talk to your lawyers.
Talk to your lawyer first if you have contracts you've signed like that.
Yes.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Yeah. We shouldn't get into that.
Yeah. But that is an important thing. Talk to your lawyers is one thing. And then whatever your lawyers, probably with that, in that scenario, you would want to contact these customers separately.
Yeah.
And you would want to let your lawyers drive the what to say and how to say it and what to write and what not to write, because that's just
sometimes the company has to claim bankruptcy just to not have to honor those contracts. Yeah. You don't have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. There's a few other things. That people just should be careful of. And I'll just give those tips because it's almost time.
Yeah.
The one big tip I have that happened recently is like, as a founder, CEO, whatever, don't put your name on the leases. Put your company name. Like anything that's like liability. I know sometimes this is hindsight, but like you might not think about that while you're shutting it down. And then all of a sudden you have a 200K lease that you have to fulfill and like it's on you.
Yeah.
Wow. So just be careful about those scenarios. It's hard to prevent if you've already done it, but it's part of your accountability as you're shutting down.
Yeah.
Right? You need to make sure you account for that if you've done something silly like that.
Yeah. I like that. That's a really important point. And you need to, like, before you...
Your liabilities, basically.
Yeah. Before you give out that date, what you basically do is you're in a room with a few people and you have a big whiteboard and you basically think everything through. What are all the contracts we have? What are all the service provider we work with? What are all the customers? Just need to do your homework.
Because that impacts the timeline.
Yes.
Yeah. We're not saying arbitrarily come up with the timeline, do your homework and then come up with a good timeline and have an idea of what you need to do.
All right. So my tip, I'm going to end with one last group of people you need to communicate with, which is also a painful one. People don't think about that. Family and friends, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've been touting this company being amazing and all this stuff, and your family might have made a lot of sacrifices in terms of the amount of time you had for them and everything and over the money that you had. And now you're deciding to shut this down. You have to, this is another group you need to communicate with, yeah, that you're responsible for. And with friends, it's a bit easier. It's more of a pride thing. Your friends don't need to know first, right? You can tell them at a later point. And you, yeah, even there, just don't hide the fact. Just tell them we shut down the business. And
they might
that.
Even have ideas to help. So
yeah. But with your immediate family, yeah, you know, if you have one, you need to have the same conversation you have with your employees and investors. You need to have with your, yeah, your family. Sit down, tell the date, tell what needs to happen during this time. Explain, if you have a spouse or a girlfriend or a partner, explain what is the shit storm that you're going to have to weather over the next X amount of days until July 23rd happens, and tell them what you need from them. And just be honest and transparent and say, this is, and then again, do the same thing as with the team members. The moment you tell this, your family is going to think, what the hell does this mean for us, right?
Yeah, this panic is what it mode, means for us. Yeah.
Right? So you need to think this through. What does this mean for us financially? What does this mean for us in terms of the amount of time you're going to have till July 23rd and after that? What does this, like, you need to have answers to these questions. And it sucks. Again, this is why being a founder is hard.
That's
because
right.
In this moment, you also want somebody to, that you also want to ask yourself, what about me?
Yeah.
But it's not about you.
Doing
that phase, it's really not about you. It's about everybody else but you.
That's right.
So you're going to have to comfort, you know, your partner and give all these answers and think this stuff through. And the other thing that I find very hard to do, very, very hard personally to do, but I think it's incredibly important, is during that time, and that's my final tip, every day as you come home, the last thing you feel like is talking about it, right? All you want to do is be quiet and be left alone.
Yeah.
But you have to, like, maybe you come up with some kind of a ritual system that's like, okay, 5 minutes at the dinner table, a quick summary of everything that was horrible today.
Get all your questions out now.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
And then, so because it's impossible for your family to understand you and to support you without knowing anything that's going on. And you want that, you wish for that, but that's impossible for them to do. And also, they have all these insecurities, uncertainties. What happened today? What can we say or not say? What's going on? So just forcing yourself to just talk for 2 minutes and give them a quick, this is what happened today. We let these people go. We talked to this customer who was really upset. And then also for the family to know, and now that he talked and we had a little bit of a conversation of that, just give him a break, or her a break for the rest of the day. That can do wonders versus like having this entire period being a black box where nobody talks at home or you don't want to talk and people are so curious and insecure and want to know what's going on. And then that starts fights and that creates a different type of issues that you really don't want to have at that time. Communicate, right? That's from us.
Bye.
Bye.